I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastors' Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastors' wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastors' wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastors' wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Woo, 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 woo. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Pastors' Wives Tell All.
Yeah. I'm excited.
We're starting off with a happy, happy note.
I mean, why not? This is going to be a good episode, right?
This is going to be a good year.
It is.
Our book comes out April 30th.
It does.
You can pre-order it now and get a whole bunch of goodies.
Praise the Lamb.
Yeah.
So go do that.
Go to our website. You'll see how to do it there.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Can we get those goodies?
I mean,
can I pre-order another book?
Sure. Go for it. So typically we do our Ask Us Anything series at the end of the year, but we thought we would kick off the year with this series.
That was just riveting.
And when I say series,
she means
it's not
like
really
two episodes.
A series, but usually it's long enough that we can make two episodes out of it. So
we're going to call it a series.
There we go. We'll call it a series just for funsies.
Do whatever we like.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can do whatever we like. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Sure can. All right. Mm-hmm. So first question, and I'm starting with this one because I'm very excited about it. I want to know about this year's retreat. Yes, I know it's early, but I'm making sure I get there. First of all, we're having three retreats.
Yeah, girl.
Y'all, where are we going?
Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And
Missouri.
Jenna, since you're the one that loves a calendar, mm-hmm. especially the Google calendar, you want to tell them the dates of those?
Yeah, let me get my calendar out. What are they again?
Yep. So one is in August, one is in September, and one is in November.
Uh-huh.
Wow, okay. Weird.
We're going to be booking it
next fall.
I know. Man.
Okay. So our Minnesota retreat is in August this year, August 23rd through 25th.
Woo-hoo.
So that's Minnesota. And then we have September, which is the 27th through the 29th. And that's in Ohio.
Woody woo woo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then in November, we are reuniting with Fearless Unite. I like that.
Yeah,
that was good.
Reuniting and it feels so good.
Christy, we're coming for you.
We're coming for you, girl.
So that is November 8th through the 10th.
And that is going to be a retreat
Missouri. Just
for ministry leaders in general.
Yes. Yeah, so November is ministry leaders. Anyone that is serving Jesus, you can come hang out with us in Missouri. And Christy, you will absolutely love her. And then also the Ohio retreat, you can sign up now. We already have a good group of ladies that are coming. And so we're so excited. We will put a link in the show notes and you can click Eventbrite and you can sign your little self up and all your friends. We would love to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, side note, because I just feel like people need to know, we don't care if you don't live in Ohio, you can still come. We have ladies come from all over the country. They fly. They drive. They take friend road trips.
I thought you were going to say they take a boat. Because
they
drive.
They might. I mean, you know, whatever.
Some people
but just
got
know that,
kind of
that
money.
You do not have to be from that state to come to the retreat. So just wanted you to know that because we would love to see all of you.
Yes. I also feel like this person is saying she's making sure she's getting there and she wants to know about it. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all our retreats. We do lots
they're
of things at the retreats.
Our favorite thing we do.
Yes. And everyone is maybe a little bit different because the theme will change based on what we feel the Lord leading us to do. But some things will be similar. We always have lots of quiet time that you get to spend with Jesus. There will be plenty of sessions, but also just fun times and dance parties and surprises and little gift bags and all sorts of funsies.
And we are like with you the whole weekend. So we are sitting with you at all of the meals and we are talking with you and hanging out and you're getting to know all of the other ladies that are so cool and getting to know them. And one of the biggest things that people walk away with is that they are not alone because the enemy wants to make us think that we are alone.
Yep.
But when you walk away, you're going, hey, I'm not alone anymore. I know this. Mm. Like this pastor wife you know, Sally Jane is dealing with the same thing. Yeah. I mean, Sally Jane, she's dealing with the same thing that I'm dealing with, you know, and you're going to be able to encourage each other and laugh a whole lot. Because I think a lot of times women come in and they haven't laughed in a long time.
You're going to laugh if you come to a retreat. I'm just saying, you're going to have fun. Yeah. You're going you're going to dance.
You are going to dance, even if you don't want to.
It's going to be so fun.
It will be. And the sessions, I think one of the biggest things also is the sessions. They are geared toward pastor's wives, but also it's not just us preaching the whole time. Like, we're sitting in a room, hanging out, drinking coffee, asking questions, talking with each other through things that are going on. So it's very interactive. You know, we want to hear back from you and talk through things.
That's right.
All right. This next one is a doozy. How do you handle people in church causing division?
Just kick them out.
Just kick them out. She said. But well, Jessica, I feel like you probably have a good answer for this.
Yeah. I think you need to DM us so we can go into detail. But I think one of the most beautiful things is that God calls us to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. And what all three of us preach a whole lot in these podcasts is to bring to light what is hidden and have conversations with people. It is not fun. Every person that has given us a hard time at any church and we have to go communicate that to them, I have never once skipped into that office going, yay, I cannot wait. This is going to be so fun.
Yay, confrontation.
Confrontation is so fun. I mean, like, it's never fun.
You have to do it.
But you have to do it. And if you don't, you're being disobedient, because that's what the Lord calls us to. Mm. So we have to remember that we are to hold believers accountable.
Yes.
I think we spend too much time judging non-believers and less time holding believers accountable. Mm. Mm-hmm. I think our churches would look a whole lot different if we start actually obeying scripture and not our opinions.
You better preach, Jessica Taylor.
Yeah.
I know some people are just like going, I can't do that.
But you can. It's hard. But you can. Yeah. But also, if they continue, like, let's just say you have been dealing with, you know, this person for 6 months. Now, have you gone through all the steps that scripture shows you to hold that person accountable? Now, if you haven't, then start there. Mm-hmm. The meetings, talking with them, and then
one-on-one, then bring in somebody.
And then if none of that has happened and they are still producing division within the church, then I do believe that the pastor and the staff have to make a decision on what you're going to do with that person. Because if they are just plain evil in that church, and then you have to decide, do we ask that person to leave?
Or church discipline.
It's church discipline. Or, you know, what do we do? So I don't have I do. It's an easy answer. Go to scripture and do it. It is going to be super hard, but we have faith that you can do it.
And make sure you know the difference between people causing division and people who may offer constructive criticism, because I think we have to be open to the fact that we could be wrong. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at things when somebody comes to you and you feel like, oh, they're just being divisive. Take a moment, evaluate yourself and the situation, and make sure there's not something that you've done wrong or that someone else on staff hasn't done wrong or someone else in the church hasn't done wrong.
That's good.
Before you just say, oh yeah, they're just causing division, which they might be.
And a lot of times they just want to be heard. They just don't know how to say it. And it comes across as gossip, and they're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But really, they just might need someone to listen to them. Mm-hmm. There also could be that. But yeah, Steph, that's so good.
Mm. Yep.
All right. Next question. How do you support a decision that's been made that you don't agree with? Ooh. In the church, huh? Well, I guess I think it depends on what it is, right? Because if it's something you don't agree with, like, you know, the carpet color, I mean, okay. I think sometimes you got to get over those little things that don't matter. Now, if it's something scriptural, if it's something from scripture that you know is taken out and wrong and not right, that's something you're going to have to actually go and face and talk about and say, I don't agree with this. This is why. Present the scripture, do it kindly. And then you're going to have to make a decision from there if you need to be there or not. I mean, we take it all the way. But I think a lot of times it's things that are not a big deal that we want to make a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the why behind the what. And then at that point, you'll know which one of those it is.
Yeah.
Is it an opinion or is it something, you know, like if it's something scriptural and it's just, you just don't agree with, like you said, mm-hmm. you know, something like the carpet color or not that that's scriptural necessarily, but you get what I'm saying.
Or type of music got, or whatever.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the why behind the what. Because yeah. sometimes it's just a preference thing. And then yeah. you got to ask yourself, why are you so headstrong about this thing?
Can we just bring yeah. up how many people are staying at churches where scripture is not being taught?
That's and, so true.
The pastor is doing the wrong thing. Staff mm-hmm. is doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And people mm-hmm. are sitting there on those pews because they want to check off their box. Mm-hmm. And they don't. And they're too complacent to leave and go be at a healthy church.
Yep.
I mean, I think that like we need to remember that. Like there are a lot of places that are not preaching the truth and they are doing the wrong thing. And you are staying because you're complacent and your mm-hmm. friends are there. Yep. And you have forgotten the whole reason why we go to church.
It's so not I think for the people.
It's not for the people. It is a beautiful part of it, mm-hmm. Of that fellowship with believers.
Right.
But I think we definitely need to check what is happening. And also you need to know when it's time to leave. Like yeah. just, I mean, we have a friend that there was things that they thought that the church believed. And then they found out something different because their actions proved mm-hmm. differently. So if their actions proved differently and then they held, like they went to the staff and told them these things and held them accountable in a respectful way and talked just because they were in a relationship and talked through it, but still couldn't come to the conclusion that they knew was right, then they had to make the choice. Am I going to stay or mm-hmm. am I going to go? So you also have to pray through that with your spouse yeah. on when it's time to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have lots of episodes on that too, by the way.
We sure do.
We've been asked that a lot, that question. How do I know when it's time to leave?
Where those episodes are exactly.
They're somewhere.
You just might have to scroll until you find them. Okay. Jenna, I want you to answer this one.
Ooh. Okay. Mm.
How many takes does it take to get a reel down? Our dances on Instagram.
I think it depends on the day and it depends on the reel. If it is something that is a little more complex that has to be, you know, edited later to kind of put it all together, and there's a lot of thought behind, like, what does this take have to include? And what does this take have to include? Sometimes we have to sit and think about that for a little bit before we actually do it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they're pretty straightforward and simple.
Even the simple ones, though. There have been times we've had to take a million takes because one of us is just not on it.
I want to say generally at least, I mean, probably at the most, maybe. I mean, I think some of the things we've done, if I think back, I mean, at least 20... We've done some that's taken.
Well, if they have
takes.
A lot of choreography, mm-hmm.
yeah,
like
if it's
those
if
are going to take
heavy
longer.
Choreography, it's
20, 25
longer.
Minutes.
Because literally one of us messes up yeah. like each time, yeah. and or we don't like our face, or we don't like the right. way we moved, or whatever. So,
yeah,
I mean, it could be up to 20-ish times.
A little, just a little hint. The weeks that we post a blooper video, those specific reels, those are the ones that take a really long time. Because when we have that much content that we can create a blooper out of it, then that one took us a pretty hot minute.
Yeah. And I would say we don't do a blooper every time of all the messages that we've had, because we've had a lot.
We should.
I know, they're so funny. Okay. How do you handle negative pastor's wives who never like anything the church does or decides? Mm-hmm. I feel like that could just be answered with the one of people causing division in the church.
Yeah.
You got to bring it to the light. Somebody needs to step up and talk straight to that person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't sit there and mumble, complain behind her back, because that's right. not doing any good. You can't yeah. just go over her to somebody else. I would go straight to her and yeah. then take the steps. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
What you think?
She sounds like she's definitely either a negative person and she probably brings that into a lot of areas mm-hmm. of her life, which is really hard when it's someone's like personality that
yeah.
that
yeah.
no one's ever held her accountable for, because we all have negative people in our life.
Or she yeah. may just be struggling.
Or she might be
something deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe, I think that's a good point, Stephanie. I think maybe, like, what if you took her out to coffee and didn't talk about anything with the church and just got to mm-hmm. know her and just love on her, encourage her. Yeah. Maybe she is feeling the same way, as maybe she's feeling like some of our questions that we'll have later, that I've been at this church for 5 years, and there's so many cliques, and I don't feel like I'm welcomed anywhere. So, I mean, let's be honest. If we don't feel welcomed, we're going to put up walls.
Yeah, for sure.
And that can cause division.
It can bleed into
negativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, so this next question, I'm actually thinking, what are we going to say? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Okay. Hubby is starting seminary in the fall. We have two toddlers, and we're moving for it. Tips? I got tips about moving with young children.
Go ahead.
I don't know if...
Can you answer that one? Because I can't help with that one.
Yeah, I would say that that is going to be tough. Moving for seminary, I'm going to go ahead and say, go ahead and plug in. While he's studying, y'all plug into a good church and get into a small group immediately. Start getting to know people. Find whether maybe there's a MOPS group. Since you have toddlers, you're going to need people. You have to do that like immediately. And give yourself some grace, because moving is hard, and trying to pack everything when you have these little tiny babies running around is not easy. I've been there. I'm having to like strap a toddler to one side while putting books in a box or whatever. But give yourself grace. Get yourself, when you get there, go ahead and tell yourself that you're probably not going to be cooking meals for a little bit. Just go ahead and put some money aside for some easy things to eat. These are just some things I'm thinking off the top of my head, because you may not even know where your pots and pans are.
Yeah.
Tell yourself, we might have to get a pizza, $5, $6 pizza or whatever from Little Caesars or something, you know, one night, and then do something a little different the next night. What, you know, you just got to like think through those things, get a lot of sandwich stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I think those are the biggest things that would help me if I ever had to move again, just thinking back about everything that happened. And also make sure you just ask for help. Ask for help when you are just like even in the process of moving.
Yeah.
Because that loading can be super up the overwhelming,
especially with toddlers, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 100%. And communicate with your husband, because he's going and he has a mission and a plan. And we've heard a lot of wives and no friends that they can get somewhere and you're with your children all day long and you're feeling a little less important, seen, all of the things. So make sure that you're communicating with him, taking some time for yourself, taking some time for each other, even if you have to be very creative, because maybe there's no childcare or anything. But just make sure that you're letting him know your feelings through the process, because it could be a lonely place. If you sit in it and not talk through it.
Yeah, that's good.
Seminary is not the most important thing. Your family is. Mm-hmm. So he needs to know that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this next one is a doozy. Mm-hmm. How to handle a pastor and his wife mishandling church funds.
Ooh, snap.
Why are they still there?
Well, I mean, I think you need to call the law enforcement.
Report them to the authorities.
I would say, bring it all to the light.
We're laughing, but for real.
For real, you need to go straight to them, and then you need to go to the authorities if it really is something.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you are a pastor. You're not supposed to be mishandling God's money.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I think you definitely need to, talk with your husband about that, talk with staff, and figure out your plan. But, this is our opinion. So you do what you need to do. But I feel like that's legal. Like that's illegal. So you need to do that.
100%.
And it doesn't, I think it's such a struggle legally when we're thinking of these kind of things, when you're at the church. Like, that's hard. Like, what do you do? Especially if you have a relationship with them, or you know it's going to mess up your whole church. What if there's a church split? Mm-hmm. All of this stuff. But people have to be held accountable.
Yeah.
That's the thing. People are, and especially pastors, are not held accountable. And that's why we have a lot of jacked up churches.
Yeah.
So hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
Hey, friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Guys, I think after all this heavy. We need another fun one.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Favorite jeans. I know Jenna has got specific ones. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not the typical one to splurge on jeans because, you know, it just is what it is. But recently, and when I say recently, I mean Christmas time, when I had Christmas money to spend, I have heard about the Abercrombie Curve Love line of jeans. So Abercrombie, in all of the different styles of jeans they make, they also make a Curve Love to match. The Curve Love has an extra 2 inches in the thighs and in the hips, which yours truly needs. And so they are like the perfect, like literally I have never tried on a pair of jeans that fit me as good as that specific line. You got to get the Curve Love if you're curvy, but they are like legit, really thick, good quality. Like I will have these jeans forever. Like they are so, like I'm obsessed with them. I love them so much.
If you have the curves, like the smaller waist.
I feel as if we would really know if they're the best if we actually get a real curvy girl such as me. Because a lot of people are going, Jenna, I don't think you know what curvy is.
Well, but okay. let me know what you mean.
That's why I was trying to explain that she has a tiny waist, but she has more in the bottom area.
I've always been smaller in the waist, but my weight just typically goes to my hips and my leg, my thighs first. So that's... And a lot of curvy girls have an issue with there being a huge waist gap.
And belts don't make it better.
And belts never don't fix it. And that's not cute anyway. You know, when you put on a belt and it's like all everything's bunched up. Yeah. So the Curve Love fixes that. Like there is like no waist gap. I should
sacrifice and really try. So like the women that are going, Jenna, you don't know what it's like. Then like let's let Jessica do it.
The nearest one is in Atlanta. So you got to drive about 2 hours to try on a pair, or you just order a pair and try them on and then send them back, which I mean, that's never fun, but you know.
My birthday's coming up because I also would need birthday money to do something
so maybe we should go to Atlanta for Jessica's birthday.
I'll be in Africa.
That's right. I forgot.
We're still going to celebrate your birthday,
I forgot.
Sure.
Yeah, we're still going
to
celebrate
it. But yes, guys, we will get back to you on that, but the jeans are super cute. We've seen them on Jenna. They're super adorable.
I will say that if you don't want to spend the money, which I will wait for them to go on sale before I buy a pair. Let me just throw that out there because they do have sales. There are a lot of influencers who post codes where you can get them way cheaper than just full price. But Old Navy does have some of their styles do fit curvy girls well and don't have as big of a waist gap.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Old Navy is where I get my jeans. Yeah. And I love them all.
And if you're like me, who's just pretty much the same size straight down. Like, I don't have a lot of curves. I mean, let's just be honest. I think a lot of jeans are made for people like me that don't have the curves. 100%. Because I can put most jeans on and they work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I have like a favorite.
Man, that would be nice.
Yeah. I would say that we shop all at the same places, but Target, Old Navy. I love Target. And Walmart too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gotten a couple pairs.
I've gotten some from Walmart that I really liked.
What's that one pair?
That one brand that I really like. Oh gosh.
Sophia Vergara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those. And I have seen a lot of curvy girls actually talk about those too.
Yeah.
Well, Sophia's curvy. So, yeah. I mean, I would imagine that if she's going to create a jean, she's going to create some that would fit.
But it also works for me. So, I think it's because it's got like this nice stretch.
Yes.
So, I think for people who need the extra stretch, and then it still stays on me too.
That's good.
Because sometimes my problem is they'll fall straight down if I don't have, because I don't have a lot in the hips and booty area.
Junk in the trunk.
I don't have a whole lot of junk in the trunk. Not a whole lot happening down there. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
You are beautifully and wonderfully made.
Praise him.
Anyway, next question. Okay. Oh, new pastor's wife here. How do I deal with friendships who don't want to grow spiritually? Interesting. I mean, I guess don't hold them super, super close. Like your closest to the closest friends will be the ones that you share with spiritually, but it's okay to have other friends who maybe aren't there yet.
Yeah.
You know,
and I would just be an example, you know, in the way that you speak and the way that you live your life. Like, I think that that's probably the thing that I could add the most. Just be there for them when they need, you know, when they need you. Just be a good example, be a good friend to them, and
love them.
But like you said, like not all of your friends have to be like close friends. Like you can have friends that are not, you know, the people that you call every single day.
Exactly. You got anything to add there, Jessica Poo-Poo?
I think I did wonderful.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. I feel like you're going to have to answer some of this one coming up though, Jessica. When do you know it's time to leave a ministry? 7 years in and discouraged about apathetic something. Apathetic LDRS.
Elders.
Good job. Elders. Yes.
Because they didn't have enough room to write elders. So
I know. I'm trying
to. That was creative. I just want to give an applause to whoever that was.
Good job.
And to us for figuring it out. Jessica.
It was just Jessica.
Just Jessica.
She figured it out. It's fine.
Great.
I don't even remember the question.
Let me just say it again.
It was, how do you know when to leave a ministry 7 years in and
discouraged about apathetic elders.
Discouraged about apathetic elders. So ones who just don't care or just are just like meh about everything.
You know, this is hard because I don't know. We don't have elders. And sometimes the definition of what elders and board members and deacons are allowed to do within the church. You know, for me, like, I think like looking back at other churches I've been a part of, and we had deacons back in the day. I think that they shouldn't be in charge of the church.
But elders are normally the people who are, like, biblically supposed to be leading the church spiritually, like shepherds.
Right. But so where is the pastor and all the staff?
Some are elder led.
So there's multiple pastors. Elders.
And some are elder led.
So are their pastors? Sorry. they're pastors just, and they just call them elders.
Yes. So like, just like we have a lead pastor, mm-hmm. we have a youth pastor, mm-hmm. which is an assistant pastor. Yeah. We have a children's pastor. Some churches literally just call the pastoral staff elders.
Okay, so it could be just, it that could is just the pastoral be elders. Staff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's take it as if that's it. Yeah. Pastoral staff. Ooh.
It's hard.
And is she on staff? Does it say anything?
She says, when do you know it's time to leave a ministry? So I assume so.
I think that like if your whole church is apathetic and you've prayed and fasted and communicated and tried to do the best you can and you're not seeing any change, then I think the only change would be you leaving.
And that's hard.
That's hard. But if you're at a church that's dying and there's no one wants to change, then you have to ask yourself, is God calling me elsewhere?
Yeah. Go where God is moving.
Yeah. Go where God is moving.
If he ain't hanging around that place,
yeah,
I don't know that you want to be there.
We always tell people, go where you grow. You know, if you just stay somewhere because it's easy or simple or just what you've always done, and then you're going to end up like them. You're going to end up apathetic and all of that. If that's what you're around all the time. But that doesn't mean don't stop praying for that church once you leave, because God wants better for them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for whatever reason, the enemy has a hold.
Absolutely. All right. So this one is a little more specific. I'm going to try to read it carefully here. How do you deal with conflict when it's with a young adult who has been disrespectful to meeting with them to resolve things, and it just makes it worse? They act as if they are the pastor and make decisions and begin projects without consulting the right people. I have mixed feelings about this question. Did y'all have something to say before? Yeah, okay. So
is the person on staff?
I know what you know. Okay. And my thoughts are, okay, this person doesn't sound like they're on staff that they're talking about. They said that the person that they're dealing with the conflict is a young adult who acts like they're the pastor and makes decisions and begins projects without consulting the right people. And okay, so I have two things. First thing is, I think since we don't know this situation, we don't know the heart behind this young adult. So we only know what we're reading right here. Mm-hmm. But I do think sometimes we think that the pastor has to have his hands or her hands on everything, and it has to go through them. And we forget that the church people are the church. And if God has called them to something specific, we can go alongside them and allow them to do the things God's called them to do, which may be a big project, or it may be, I don't know.
I would say the only thing is if they're doing it in the name of the church
and doing it disrespectfully.
Doing it disrespectfully, right. Because yeah. I mean, I would know, like Jonathan, like right now, like if someone is doing that and not communicating with us, mm-hmm. like if it's outside the church, we should all be doing ministry outside the church.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with the church members, mm-hmm. but he's just starting his own ministry, you right. know, outside the church, then go be free, you know, go do it.
Yeah.
But like if it's within the church and mm-hmm. he's starting all of these things without communicating, then mm-hmm. that seems like a very like prideful, defiant, like doing it for the wrong reasons. Again, like let's remember what Stephanie said. We don't know the heart behind right. this person or the whole situation, but I can see, envision people's faces that I've known that are like this. They just want to be seen. Mm-hmm. They do things because they want doing well, you know,
pat on the back.
And they want to be seen, or they want power that they have been denied. So they'll go around mm-hmm. the staff to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard not knowing the whole situation. Yeah. I think that you definitely, the person that they are under needs to communicate with them and give them guidelines if it's within the church ministry.
And if they refuse to meet then, with the pastor, yes. I mean, at that point, just
you,
say,
you know, the
no
heart.
More.
Yeah, yeah. You can't, like, you know, their heart at that point.
Church if, discipline at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry you're going through that. That's hard. Yeah, been that there. Hard. It's a struggle.
Yeah. All right. I laugh at this one. You'll laugh too. How do you find balance with ministry and family life?
Sorry, I just, you said I was gonna laugh.
God comes first, but we're also, I feel like she ran out of room. We have families, husbands, okay. children, that sort of thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, I will say Jamie Ivey on a recent episode, I think explained this so well. She talked about how you're juggling and you have glass balls and you have like rubber balls mm-hmm. and the glass balls are the ones that when they fall, they will break mm-hmm. and you have to be very careful with the glass balls. So glass balls would be your family, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, things like that. And then there's other things that might be good things that are the rubber balls, mm-hmm. but they might not be God things. And I just think it's very important to ask for wisdom and discernment in the things that you're putting on your calendar, the things that you are doing within the church, because you don't have to do everything. And there might be some things that you're doing that maybe somebody else could do. But I think it's important to make sure that you are using wisdom in your scheduling, and there is communication between you and your husband with anything ministry related that you're doing, because your home and your family does come first. They are your first ministry. And so I think in order to balance it, I mean, balance is not really a great word. I mean, I feel like a lot of people use that word, but
there's no true balance.
There's no true balance. I feel like you just have to be in communication with your spouse, and you have to do what works for you and your family. And if you notice that, you know, you're dropping some of those glass balls, you're going to see that they're broken. You're going to see that, you know, there's going to mm-hmm. be evidence of that. So, but I think communication is key when it comes to that.
And I think that this person in particular said, well, God comes first, but we're also, and then goes on to the other things. But here's the thing. We can't confuse God with church ministry.
Right.
So,
right.
Because she said, your first ministry is your home.
Right.
That is from God. Mm-hmm. That is putting God first. When you take care of the first things first.
Exactly.
So we just have to be careful about, like, well, I'm just going to not be around my family all the time and just be out serving everybody else. And then we let our family go to the wayside. Well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say sometimes you got to say no to ministry things.
Oh, you will. You have to. And we say this on the podcast a lot. All good. There's a lot of good things, but they're not God things for mm-hmm. you. So I think using wisdom and discernment on when to say yes and no, that is the harder thing, especially if you have a people pleaser mentality. It's really hard because you don't want to let people down.
Right.
But I would just add, like, intentionality. Mm-hmm. Like, you, first of all, your relationship with God should be number one. Mm-hmm. So you need to be spending time with him daily. But then that intentional time, which we've done a lot of podcasts that you can go back and listen to. And when the book comes out April 30th, there's a whole chapter talking about that. But the biggest thing is being intentional. So if you only have 20 minutes, because you and your husband are going two different ways that day and your kids are in sports and at school, then that 20 minutes you have, put that phone down, take all electronics away, and do something very intentional for those 20 minutes, because that time can be really good and can be better than being in a house all day with people that you never talk to.
Right.
So just be intentional, 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 and go ahead and set up boundaries. We've also talked about that. Jenna talks a lot about that, of scheduling time in, especially if you're in a really busy season of your life. Schedule that time in, and that will also help.
Yeah. All right. Next question. This will be a quick one. What mix of denominations are y'all? Go ahead. All right. Well, this is Stephanie, and I am at a Southern Baptist church.
My name is Jessica, and I am at a Free Methodist church.
And you got to say free a couple times.
I sure did.
There's a difference.
Yes. Go ahead. And I, Jenna, am at a non-denominational church.
Which I'd say a little more charismatic.
Yeah.
Than what we.
Yeah.
But also, I like that we all said it the same way. We are at.
Right.
We are believers in Jesus Christ, and that is the number one thing. But where God has called us is to these churches. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's right.
I don't say I'm a Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
I say I'm at a Southern Baptist church.
That's right. One of my biggest pet peeves, if I go, oh, you know, when I'm getting to know a new person, like, you know Jesus? Or, yeah, I'm a Baptist.
Yep.
Yep. You just told me a whole lot right there.
Yep.
Need you to think about that.
Yeah.
Feel that. All right. What have you learned about God in the most recent season of life? Ooh. I know this is a good one.
All right.
I am learning, or I have learned, and I mean, I've known this my whole life, but you know, sometimes things just stick a little bit better. And I've said this in a recent episode, or no, it might be after this actually. It's to come. But I am learning that I can trust God. And that sounds so stupid and silly because, duh, like kids, we learn that we're supposed to trust God. But I mean, really, that I can trust him because some real hard things have happened. So I've been learning that.
I think that I'm learning just to abide, to remain faithful, even when things are hard and even when they feel hopeless, that I need to remain in him. Regardless, even when there might not be any change, that he's still moving, even when I don't think he is or even when I can't see it.
I would say, I think in this season of my life, I am learning to lay down my burdens every single day with the Father, and also the burdens that I carry of others. I think that we need to remember that we don't get like a superhero cape for carrying, you know, 40 people's burdens. Mm. Like, that's just stupid. That's Jesus's job. We're not the Savior. We didn't, you know, do everything he did, and we're not him, and nor should we want to be. So I think learning to lay down everyone's burdens, including my own. Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.